All right, it's a very special schus. I'll tell you, I mean this. You know, the Gemara says that we learn from many people. We're always supposed to be learning. Ezu chacham halomid mikol adam, a wise person who learns from everybody. But the Gemara says that the one we learn most from are our talmidim. Mi talmida yosem mikulam. From your students, you learn more than anyone else. To see young women very late at night on really the first real day of camp, which is an exhausting day, I know, for everybody. And we just switched to camp time, so even though we're starting at 10:45, 10:50, we're all feeling like it's 11:50 now. So it's pretty late at night to be starting a shiur on the first real day of camp. It's tremendous chizik to see young women who want to grow and want to learn. And I thank you for that, the chizik you just brought me. So thinking about this shiur, we're going to have a weekly shiur every Wednesday night for whatever staff members would like to come. I was thinking about what to give shiur in. There, you can hand them a few more. And wanted to learn a sefer together. We're going to learn together Bezus Hashem also every Shabbos Kodesh. And then we'll talk more in Yoni Diyoma, some ideas going on. 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av. Some ideas from the parasha, hopefully very beautiful, inspirational ideas. But I wanted to learn a sefer. I was thinking about what should we learn together. I went through many ideas in my head. You know, there's a very famous story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Somebody once came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It was a young man who said he has only 15 minutes in his day to learn. All that he has is 15 minutes in his day to learn. What should he learn? There's so many different areas we could learn, right? We could learn Chumash, we could learn Halacha, we could learn Gemara for a man is very important, obviously. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says in those 15 minutes you should learn Musar. Because if you learn Musar 15 minutes a day, suddenly you'll see that you really have 3 hours in your day to learn. And the lesson is taken by each and every one of us to understand that we all need chizik in our life, we all need thesaurus, we need inspiration in our life. And the more inspiration we have, it opens us up to make more meaningful every moment of our life. And maybe suddenly we find ourselves having more time to learn, and more time to daven, and more time to be involved in chesed. So I felt if we're going to learn together a few minutes late at night, it should be something in the field of Musar. And to me, when it comes to Musar, there's really only one sefer that's ever been written. Now there are many other sifrei Musar, but all other sifrei Musar, after this sefer, I really feel is only a pirish, only a commentary on this sefer. And the sefer is the sefer Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim, as you all know, it's translated the path of the just. Mesillas Yesharim, how many in this room have ever learned some of Mesillas Yesharim even? That's what I thought. So don't be embarrassed if not, don't be embarrassed if yes. Mesillas Yesharim was written by the Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lozado. And I figured many of you have learned parts of Mesillas Yesharim, or all of Mesillas Yesharim perhaps. So why would I choose such a sefer? The reason I chose such a sefer is because there's an opening line in his Akdama. You don't have this in front of you. We're going to learn together Perek Aleph, but I just want to read you the opening line in his introduction. Amar HaMechaber, the Mechaber writes, HaChibur HaZeh, this work, this sefer, I didn't put it together to teach you something you don't already know. But to remind them that which is known to them. Kvar, previously. It's even famous. It's known ideas. Pirsum gadol, very, very famous. So why would that be? Why would we learn something that we already previously learned? Riva had this chus, is the only one I had this chus to teach already years ago, and she just reminded me, we actually learned together Mesillas Yesharim years ago. But we're learning together Mesillas Yesharim again. Why would we learn it again if we already learned it previously, and some of you have learned this previously? I mean, the truth is you could ask that about all Torah, right? There's a mitzvah every single week to go through the parasha, Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. This week is Parshas Balak. Last year, many of us went through Balak, and the year before, and the year before. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Gadol Hadar, is going through Parshas Balak this week. I think he knows it by heart. I guarantee you he knows it by heart. But he's going through it again. And when it comes to Musa, even more so, Mesil Sharm told you that he feels that in the work that he wrote, in this Sefer that we're going to learn together, he's not putting new ideas down. Isn't that generally when we learn to learn new ideas? Don't we generally learn something because we want to learn something new? I guarantee everybody in this room, when it comes to math, whether you're great or you're not great at math, everybody knows 3 plus 3 equals 6. And 4 plus 3 equals 7, right? Everybody. And nobody has to spend time thinking about that. And nobody in their right mind would go and spend time learning that again. It's a complete waste of time. None of you are going to go and take out a first grade math book, a second grade math book, and study it again. You know it. You've achieved, you understand it, finished. Why, when it comes to these Svarim, and specifically the Mesil Sharm, and the Ramchal says, we're going to learn things that we know already. Why would we learn it again then? Truth is, this could be said for all of Torah. Now, first of all, the truth is that sometimes we do chazer things in life. And we review things in life. Things that are important to us, we like to review. Things that are wonderful and beautiful and that we enjoy, we like to review. Right? I'm sure nobody in this room is going to admit that you saw the movie, and Achveis Nishta, throw out a movie. You know, I know it's very popular these days, The Greatest Showman, right? Okay, nobody, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise your hands. You don't have to admit that you saw it, okay, even though probably every hand will go up. But we're not going to admit that we saw it. Now the question not is, did you see it? The question is, how many times did you see it? You didn't just see it once. Okay, maybe some in this room didn't. But if you did see, anyone who saw it, I'll tell you this much, anyone who did see it, didn't just see it once, you saw it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. I mean, when I leave the room, you could discuss how many times, you know, who saw it more times? Who here, you know, 10, 12? Okay, if you were a seminary this past year, you were very frum, and maybe you didn't see it. Okay. Lemaisa, why'd you see it again and again and again? Why would you see a movie again and again and again? No. Now, on one level, because there are nuances that you pick up on. And sometimes you watch it, and the next time there's something else that you didn't pick up on the time before. And that's exciting, and that's interesting. So the truth is, we need chazar, we need a review, because there are ideas that maybe I learned something the first time, I didn't see this the second time. Additionally, and this is, I believe, the deepest truth when it comes to a sefer, that Sifrei Musar, like the Ramchal sefer, Mesil Sharm. The truth is, even if we know something, and it's deep down within us, it doesn't mean it's on the surface. It doesn't mean we're living our lives according to it. You know, so you might watch a movie again because you want to re-experience and feel what you felt when you watched it prior. You want to get back into that moment. Even though you know it, you might be able to tell over the storyline, and you might be able to sing every single word and every verse of every song. But there's a hargasha, there's a feeling that you get when you watch it, which is different. So too, when we learn a particular sefer, and specifically the Mesil Sharm, it might be ideas we know, but when I read it in the words of the Ramchal, I'm reliving it. I'm experiencing it. I'm going to be a different person because of it. I'm going to live my life differently because of it. Not just knowledge I know, but knowledge I live by. Torah is Torah's Chaim. It's a living Torah. We don't learn Torah just to have knowledge on an intellectual level. We learn Torah to live Torah. That the Torah should guide us, not merely when we're in a Beis Medrash learning together, as we are now, or not just when we're in a Beis Knesset davening, but in everything that we do. When you're back in your bunk and you're interacting with your campers, I interact in a different way because of the Torah that I learned. I'm a different person. The way that I eat differently. I walk differently. I sleep differently. Everything I do is different. But that's only true if it's knowledge that I once learned and it's within me. Sometimes, unfortunately, sadly, we don't live according to that. We need constant hisoris, inspiration, to bring all that we know inside to the surface and live by it as well. And in Eretz Hashem, that's what we're going to hope to accomplish by learning together the Mesil Sharm, the Halakha words of the Ramchal. Who was the Ramchal? Just a few moments of introduction. The Ramchal was one of the greatest philosophers, Jewish philosophers, to ever grace this earth. He lived in the early 1700s in Italy. But at a very young age, he wrote many, many svarim and had a tremendous following. But unfortunately, many were scared of him. Many great leaders were scared of him because he had too great a following. And I don't know how many of you know Jewish history, but there was the whole entire episode of Shabtai Tzvi, where sadly, the Jewish nation, many Jews thought he was Mashiach, and it was a terrible time. And the Yidden, by the time the Ramchal, were afraid of that happening again. I'm afraid of someone with such charisma, like a Ramchal, like Rav Moshe Chaim Lozado. And they ended up, he wrote also at a very young age many books on Kabbalah, very, very deep ideas. And they ended up putting his books in Chayrim and putting Kinnim in Chayrim. And ultimately he ran away, he left. He went to Amsterdam at the age of 25. And in Amsterdam, that's where he wrote his two most famous works. The work of the Mesil Shasharim and the work of the Derech Hashem, which we'll talk about as well. Derech Hashem is a little more philosophical approach to the world. Mesil Shasharim is a little more behavioral. It takes the depth of Derech Hashem and brings it down to earth that we can live our lives by. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, that he could learn the deepest of Torahs of great tzaddikim like the Nodeb Yehuda, and he would be able to write such great svarim, but he wouldn't be able to even write one page of Mesil Shasharim. That's how special, how beautiful every page of the Ramchal's work is. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, you've all heard of the great Vilna Gaon. He said if he would have lived during the time of the Ramchal, he would have walked across the world to learn by his feet. These are the words that we're going to be learning this tremendous Sefer. So that's a little bit of an akdam, a little bit of an introduction to what we're going to be learning together, what we're going to be studying together. And we're going to start Perek Aleph, even though the Akdama is very special, but we're going to start Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph, I don't know if you have on the sheets I made you the title, I don't think it's there, but the title of Perek Aleph is Klal Chovas Ha'adam Balamo, Beveir Klal Chovas Ha'adam Balamo, which means the Ramchal is going to explain the purpose, man's purpose in this world. And what could be more important than that? To understand, and not just somewhere deep inside us, on our outside, and the way what is our purpose in this world? What is my daily purpose? What is my global purpose? Why am I here? And it's a question we have to answer. Because I'll tell you something. If you can't answer this question, and answer it well, then seemingly we're leading very meaningless lives. Very purposeless lives, right? Because if we can't answer what's the purpose of my life, why am I here, then probability is that I'm leading a meaningless life. Because then it's all chance. If I don't know for sure why I'm here, if I don't know for sure, then seemingly I'm just going through the motions of life. And life is going to be a lot more miserable that way. Because if I understand my purpose and I can live up to my purpose, life's going to be incredible because I know what I'm doing and I can filter everything I'm doing through that purpose and lead a meaningful life, lead an exciting life. Living up to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put each and every one of us in this world, which is so special and so incredible. So let's see how he begins. He begins with something very interesting. If you look, the first four words, just even not even getting farther than that, the first four words, in many copies, I don't know the one in front of you, if it's like that. No. I just got that off Safari, yeah. But in many copies of the Mesil Shasharim, the first four words, the first letters of those four words are bolded. Could you see why? Why is that? Hashem's name. So you see that the Ramchal wants to start off the Sefer with Hashem's name, which is so important. Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? The first word starts with the Yud, the second word with a Hey, the third word with a Vav, the fourth word with a Hey, which is so, so important. Because I think what the Ramchal is telling us is that every word in the Sefer is based on having a connection to Hashem. And it comes from Hashem, ultimately. Because sometimes we might think it's his own ideas and it's something. It all comes from Torah, it all comes from Hashem. It's all to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's so important in all of our learning. Sometimes people, as we said before, are learning on an intellectual level and forget the Noisei Na Torah. The whole purpose of learning is to get closer to Hashem and to live our lives. To live our lives in a way that will be closer to Hashem. You know the Baal Tanya says? The Baal Tanya says it's the most beautiful thing in the world. You know the Baal Tanya is? The Baal Tanya was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. He lived in Hadage. Had this chus to be once by his kever. It was incredible. I'll tell you a quick story. About 10 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, 10 years ago, had this chus to spend a week in, well, 4 or 5 days really, in Ukraine. Myself, another Rebbe, Rabbi Eli Brazil, and 17 of our Talmidim, and we went to Ukraine, mainly to Kvarim, mainly to cemeteries. We went to the kever of the Baal Shem Tov, went to the kever of Nachman of Breslov, of Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, I'm sure you've heard of these big tzaddikim, the Maggid of Mezrich, very big people. It was an incredible week. We visited Babi Yar, you know, a little bit about the Holocaust, which is such a sad place to be. It was an incredible week. And then we ended up, we went from there to Eretz Yisrael. We went to Eretz Yisrael for Lag BaOmer. We got in Thursday night was Lag BaOmer. Went straight to Meron for Lag BaOmer, Bar Shimon Bar Yochai. Shabbos in Tzvat. Matzah Shabbos in Yerushalayim. That was the year, sadly, that the yeshiva, the terrible terrorist attack in yeshiva in Yerushalayim, where 8 boys were murdered, sadly. I'm sure you remember, we were Chodesh Adar. So we went there and we saw where they were murdered. It was really terrible. It was incredible. And then we went from there to the Kaisel, and Sunday morning left back to America. It was a week, man, Om Haba. In that week, we slept in beds 2 nights. We left here on a Sunday. Sunday night, we flew through the night. Monday night, we were on a bus all night going around to Kvarim. Tuesday night, we slept in a bed in Uman by Rav Nachman Breslov, if you call it a bed, whatever it was. And Thursday night, we were going to be up all night because it was Lag BaOmer. Matzah Shabbos, we were up all night as well because we left early in the morning. The one night we were going to stay, actually, Friday night, we slept in Tzvat in some small little hotel. The one night in Ukraine we were going to sleep in a hotel was on Wednesday night. So again, Sunday night, we didn't sleep. Monday night, we didn't sleep. Tuesday night, we slept kind of a few hours in Uman. Wednesday night, we already paid for what was supposed to be a decent hotel in Kiev. But we didn't yet go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Baal Tanya. To get to the Baal Tanya from Kiev is a 4-hour drive. And that's the only thing you go to. There's nothing else on the way. It's like you got to be nuts to do it. Right? It's basically you're getting in a car and driving to Washington, D.C. to go to one kever from New York, let's say from New York, and then driving right back. And we had a flight in Kiev. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday night. We're going to go to sleep, go to this hotel for the first time. And then in the morning, we had a flight already. We had to be at the airport 10, 11 o'clock, whatever it was. But I wanted to go to Baal Tanya. So I'm speaking to this other Rebbe that I was with, Rebbe Eli Brazil, we're deciding what should we do. So I said, and when again in our life are we going to review the Baal Tanya? I've learned through the Tanya to daven by his kever, to be by his kever. So he says to me, okay, it's great, I want to go also, but it's like, it's already child abuse. Like, we haven't slept in days. How can we force the guys to go? So I said, okay, you're right, we won't force the guys. We'll vote. Let's vote. We're a democracy. See what the guys want to do. If the guys want to go to the Baal Tanya, we'll go to the Baal Tanya. If the guys want to go to sleep, we'll go to sleep. We'll vote. That's how we'll do it. So I got on the bus. That night, we were first by this Jewish orphanage. We had all tish for them. It was very beautiful. Got on the bus. And I remember I said it like this. I told the chevra, I said, listen, we could go right now to this hotel and get a nice sleep, and then in the morning, go to Eretz Yisrael. Or we could drive through the night, 4 hours, get to the Baal Tanya, daven basikin neitz at the Baal Tanya, drive 4 hours back to the airport. Sounds very enticing, right? Again, this is for 17 guys who probably never heard about the Baal Tanya before. I would teach them about it when we get there. So I said, before we vote, I said, we're going to vote, it's up to you. Before we vote, I said to every single guy, I said, listen, I want to just tell you this, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. But I'll give you a guarantee. Very few people ever go to the Baal Tanya. People go to the Baal Shem, it's Rav Nachman, because he's so far, and it's only going to him. I say, I guarantee you one thing. If we go to the Baal Tanya, after 120 years, when we go up to Shemayim, if we need someone to go to bat for us and be by our side, the Baal Tanya will come and be by our side. I guarantee you, we go out of our way for him, he'll go out of the way for us. So that's how I left it. Out of 17 guys, 15 guys voted we should go to the Baal Tanya. Honestly, not that you know who they were, I would say it. I don't even remember who the two were at the moment. I just remember that was what the vote was. I went to the Baal Tanya. It was mamish incredible. All right, anyway, so what does the Baal Tanya say? What does the Baal Tanya say? In the fourth parak of Tanya, he says that every single time we learn Torah, we're mamish giving Hashem a hug. We're giving Hashem a hug. You know how beautiful that is? What does that mean? You know, what is it to give somebody a hug? When you give someone a hug, you get closer to them. You build a relationship with them. I'm sure many of you gave a camper a hug when they were feeling a little bit of homesick, whatever it might be. You want them to feel loved. You want them to feel connected. When you give anybody a hug, that's what it's about. Getting close. Feeling oneness. So every time I learn Torah, I'm giving Hashem a hug. I'm getting close to Hashem. That's awesome. It's beautiful. Because how do you get close to somebody in life? You get to know them. You build a relationship. You talk to them. How do we do that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, with the Melech Melechim Lachim? It's a little more difficult. We don't see him face to face the way Moshe Rabbeinu did. But we can learn his Torah. When we learn his Torah, we're getting to understand him, his personality, his character traits, his midos. So every time I learn Torah, I'm hugging Hashem. And I believe that's why the Baal Tanya starts out his Sefer, Yisoyid HaChasidus V'Shor Shavodo Yurke Vavke. Remember, this is all Hashem, and that's what it's all about, and don't ever forget that. It's all about having this beautiful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Father. So let's learn. Yisoyid HaChasidus V'Shor Shavodo Atmimo. The foundation of Chasidus. Chasidus here is not talking about having a beard and payas and a strimal and a bakisha. That's modern day Chasidus. This Chasidus is to be a pious individual, a very holy Jew, keeping every single mitzvah in the Torah on the highest of levels. So we want to be that type of person. What's the foundation of being a saint in a good context? Being a pious individual. Yisoyra Chasidus v'shorash avoda atmimahu, and the root of truthful, pure service Hashem. First and foremost, we'll get back to that line in a minute, but let's just read through one sentence first, get into this. She is barer v'yis'ameis eitzel adam. It should be clear and be truthful. Clear and truthful by every person. Ma chavaso balamo. What is one's duty? What is one's purpose in this world? Each and every one of us, we need to know. And we need to understand what's our purpose in this world. How could I be a chassid? How could I be a pious individual? How could I be a great person leading a meaningful life if I don't know what the purpose is? V'lumat tzarech shiyasem mabato magmaso. And where we have to place our mabato, our visions, magamaso, our aspirations, b'chol asher amal kol yimei chayev, in all that we toil all the days of our life. In other words, what am I supposed to do with my time here? Why am I here? So first and foremost, to eventually become that chassid, eventually become a person who's living a purposeful, meaningful life, I have to first and foremost, what is my purpose? Without knowing what my purpose is, without having that vision, that aspiration, so what am I doing with my time? I'm just rolling dice and living out life and just doing from one day to the next. And maybe I'm fulfilling certain purposes, maybe not. It's all chance. Now that purpose, whatever that purpose is, has to be eternal. It has to be something that's constant and consistent. If I say, oh, my purpose in life is to eat a good meal. You eat a good meal, you can only eat so much and you're finished. That can't be my purpose, because then what's the next moment, my purpose? To have a purpose of life has to be constant, consistent, and eternal. It has to be tamidious. It has to be always. Which then there could be, obviously, different aspects within that. There could be that, you have to understand and we have to know a global purpose, which is going to be constant throughout my entire life. And then that, how do I fulfill that purpose, can have many different details in many different ways. But I have to know what that purpose is. And I have to not just know it. It has to be yisbarer v'yis'ameis. I have to believe. Ameis means it's truthful. I have to believe in it. I have to believe in it so much so that I'm willing to do anything to fulfill it. And it has to be clear by me. And it can't be, my purpose is to have an awesome time. Now we're going to see, actually, he does say that in the next line. But we have to understand what that means. Because it can't just be something that is there 1 minute and gone the next. It can't be just something, my purpose is some physical exciting high that I get that can't be always there. Then the rest of my life is meaningless. You can say, my purpose is, you know, even something b'kedusha, even something, if you're going to say, my purpose is to raise wonderful Jewish children in this world. Now, that's awesome. That's beautiful. That's something we all believe in, right? I hope that every single one of you wants to raise beautiful, healthy children that are Oyevei Hashem, that are Yirei Elokim. But if that's the only purpose, what about right now? Right now, what is your purpose? There has to be something bigger than that. There has to be something even more, even though that might be some tolda, some offspring, an offshoot of the larger picture. But I have to have clear in my head a real picture of what my purpose is, that everything that I do fits into, and I'll be leading a constant, consistent, meaningful, purposeful life. And it has to be something very special. You know, let's read one more line. Let's read one more line, because the next line is awesome and so beautiful. Let's see what he says. Because he, in one line, he tells us what our purpose is, but it needs a ton of explanation. What we've been taught by Chachameinu Zechronu Levracha is Chazal, right? Our wise, blessed teachers. Sha'adam lo nivra. Man was not created, Elo lisanegal Hashem, but to be pleasured with Hashem, ulehanos miziv shchinaso, and to benefit from the splendor of His shchina. Shezeu atanik hamiti, this is the most truthful joy, ve'idin hagadol, on the greatest pleasure, mikol hayidunim sheicholim la'atem, from all the pleasures that you can find. You know what the Ramchal just said? He said something incredible, which is going to need a lot of explanation. He just said that the purpose of life is to feel pleasure. He said specifically pleasure from Hashem, but it's to feel pleasure. And that explains a lot. First of all, that explains why naturally every single one of us is a pleasure seeker. Every single one of us is naturally a pleasure seeker. So we all enjoy a good meal, whatever foods we like. And we all enjoy some good music. And we all enjoy a good time. And again, there are different pleasures that we enjoy subjectively. We all want to feel good. Every single one of us naturally is seeking pleasure. Because the Ramchal just told us that's our purpose of life. The problem is, the purpose of life is to find what is that most truthful pleasure. What is the Tanik Hamiti, the Eden HaGadol, the greatest of pleasures of why Hashem created us and the benefit from that? Now we have to still understand, there's a lot to understand. What does that mean? My purpose is to gain pleasure, Shkoyach, in any way I'd like? Obviously not. And additionally, we have to understand, why is that? Why is that the purpose of life? God created us so that we have pleasure? Why? Why is that? Let's just end with the story for this week. I know there's a cliffhanger. We have a lot of unanswered questions, but if we're going to learn only about a half an hour a week, this is deep stuff. This is real. This is all of life. So we got to leave you with some questions, which hopefully will you'll want to come back and find the answers. There was once a mashgiach in yeshiva. And he went over to a boy in the yeshiva. He went over to one of the talmidim. He said, "Tell me, who do you think is the happiest guy in the yeshiva? Who do you think is the guy that's getting the most pleasure?" And he points to some guy over there. That guy over there. Who's that guy? It was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. That guy just put on his tefillin. He just woke up about a half hour ago. That guy is partying every night, involved in the kol ha'yisurim tachas ha'shemesh that we're not going to talk about. You know what I'm saying? And he's, you know, he's like an owl. He sleeps all day, up all night, but he's living it up. He's doing what he wants, when he wants. Wherever his body taking him to enjoy this world, that's what he says. He's the happiest guy. He's living it up. He's full of pleasure. So the Rebbe, Mashgiach, says back, no, you got it all wrong. He says, look at a fish in a fish bowl. Hey, the chevra, fish at home. Now you can just go to the lake and you check out the fish over there, right? You have all these little boys fishing all day, so you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Take the fish, and you look at the fish when the fish is in the fishbowl, or the fish is in the lake, and the fish is in the water, and the fish is like swimming back and forth very slowly. Doesn't seem so exciting. Sometimes, you know, if you have a fish at home and you have a goldfish, you know, maybe you won it at some carnival and you took it home. And sometimes you'll watch it, you can watch it for like a few minutes, it's just like completely still, and then you knock the tank to make sure it's still alive, and then it quickly goes away, but it hardly moves, hardly does anything. It looks like it's living the most boring life in the world, right? Now you take that same fish, the Rebbe says, take that same fish, and take it out of the fish tank, out of the bowl, out of the lake, and put it down. What's the fish going to do? It's going to start jumping. It's going to start dancing. To someone who doesn't know better, that fish looks like it's living it up, having the best time in the world. Now, what's that fish really doing? The fish is dying. The fish is gasping for air. Because the fish out of the water is going to die. It's mommy's dying. But it's jumping around like crazy. The Rebbe says, that guy, right now, living up in all the clubs at night or wherever he is, he might look from an outsider like he's having a great time, but that's mamish, a life void of any purpose, void of any meaning, void of any spirituality, void of any connection to Hashem. The opposite of chavis adam balama. But when a person lives according to Torah mitzvahs, a person lives according to that which Hashem gives us our purpose, which we still have a lot of explanation to do. It might look sometimes from the outside, someone who doesn't know better, like that person, what are they doing all day? They're studying, they're davening, they're helping other people, they're missing out on all the good times. That's the fish in the water, living it up. That's where the fish wants to be. The fish is the happiest fish in the world, in the water. So who knows best where we're going to be happiest? Who knows best where the greatest pleasure is going to be? It's the Ribbono Shel Olam, who gave us Torah mitzvahs. And if we understand our purpose, understand which we didn't fully define yet. Right now, all that we know, just to chazer very quickly, all that we know is that we need to find and understand deeply our purpose, and we know that purpose has to be eternal, and we know that purpose is going to bring us incredible pleasure, that's, again, our purpose is to find that pleasure. And therefore we'll live a life of happiness every moment. To understand this deeper and understand all the questions we left unanswered, Meretz Hashem will continue next week.